Good morning, Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Krohn. So we are on Peches Amud Beis at the two dots, approximately 6 or 7 lines from the bottom, where it says Sricha Get Mizeh Mizeh. So this goes back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah was talking about if a single witness comes and tells a woman that her husband had passed away, and based upon that she remarried, and then it finally turns out that the first husband reappears. So we say there, Sricha get mizeh umizeh, you're going to get from both the first husband and the second husband. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Amar Rabbi Shanti Bai get. It makes sense that she needs to get from the first husband because she was always married to this first husband, and now she went and had a relationship with the second husband, and she's not allowed to stay with the first husband anymore. Ela Misheni Amai, from the second husband, why does she need to get? It was never really a marriage. As long as she was really still married to the first husband, it really wasn't a marriage. No spa'amahu. It's really just a illicit relationship. So I'm Rav Huna. Gzeira shemayomru girer zevinasazeh. That there's a gzeira that people might think that what really happened here is that the first husband divorced her, and the second husband married her for real. And therefore, she just is leaving the marriage without having a gevidim. So, Isha's ish, yotza b'lo get. People would think that from this second marriage that she left without actually having a get. So they won't know the whole background and they'll misinterpret the situation. So Gemara asks on this, Ihachi, Seifa diktani. Later in a Mishnah, it says Seifa of our, applies the Seifa of our Mishnah, but it's really the Mishnah on, we're going to get to in about 4 daf. It says, Amrula meis balech, if a single witness told her that your husband had died, niskadsha, and then she did erison. She didn't do nisuin, she only did erison. So therefore, let's call that the word betrothed as opposed to the word married, and she did that. V'archakach ba'bala, and after that, her first husband comes back. Muteris lachzerla, she's allowed to go back to that first husband. Because she never really completed the act of marriage. Hasam nami nema gira zeviki derze. There too, people might think that what happened was is that the first husband divorced her, and then she got married to the second husband, and therefore vnisa aishas ish yosabelo get joseph shalob get. They will think that we're on the bottom of peches amud beis. You'll think, and this is just like in the first case, you'll think just so too here, that the woman is leaving the second marriage without actually having a get. So the Gemara answers, no, olam bayiget. Really, she does need a get from the second husband. It's just not spelled out. So Gemara questions this, ihachi, if so, nimtzezeh machzer grushasa mishir ders arsa, that people will think, here's what happened. So so there's a rule that if a man is married to a woman and he divorces her, and then he can bring her back, as long as she doesn't marry somebody else. But once she marries someone else, he's not allowed to remarry her. So they're going to think, Nimsazeh Machzer Grushasa Mishina Arsa. People will think that he's taking back his divorced wife after she had done Erison with this other wife. So Gemara answers, Karabi Yossi Kipar Damar. It follows the opinion of Rossi Kipar, who says that about someone who takes back his wife from being after he's divorced, Mina Nisuin, if she was Nisuin, if she was fully married, Asura, he's not allowed to bring her back. However, Mina Erisin, if all she did was Erisin Muteris, he's allowed to bring her back. So even if people will think that he's bringing her back, it's not really a problem because all he really did was something legal where he remarried someone who only had gone through Erisin. So since the later part of this Mishnah teaches that even if turning to pay testament aleph, shenasla achron get, that we said no, but it's true that the second husband who was only married through Erisin, he actually gave her a get. Lo pasla amina kahuna, doesn't he therefore invalidate her from marrying a Kohen, because we know that a woman who has a get, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. I mean, cloud lo bayigate, meaning that, she's allowed to marry a Kohen, or allowed to remarry, so if we're saying she's not disqualified from marrying a Kohen because she didn't get divorced, then maybe we're saying that she didn't really actually have a divorce. We call it a little buy a get. Maybe she doesn't really need a get. Do you buy a get that if she actually needed a get, a milo pasul bin kahuna, wouldn't she also be pasul from the kahuna? So
But aren't they really saying she doesn't really need a get because she wasn't really married?
she wasn't really married,
So
right?
that's why she doesn't really need a get.
She
That's
doesn't
why
really
she's
need to
not
get.
possible
So,
with
right, it's right. So that so the additional answer we said was no, she actually needs a get, right? So that was what the answer was to the original thing. It's like, oh, I'm buying it, that she needs a get. We're saying no, man, what does she really need to get here?
But she needs to get it's that same concept. She needs to get all the time because people will think that
People
this
will
is
think,
happening and that
correct.
is happening. That's why we make it do right. But
Correct.
in reality, she doesn't need to get because she never really was married.
Exactly. Ella seifa amrei kutshei talsu. But no, we don't worry about it because people will say that it was the erusin that was done by mistake, which is actually what happened in that case. So Gemara asks, Reisha nami amrei nisui talsu. But then we'll say that maybe if she actually did nisuin with the second husband, that was made by mistake as well. So why do we need a get in that case, right? We said clear off that if she actually got married, she has to get a get from both of them. Our answer is kansua rabbanan, that they gave her a knas, that they gave her a penalty, because if you remember it, because she got married based upon a single witness, therefore she has to endure the penalty of having to go through a get in this case. So Gemara asks, sefer namle kinsua. If in the in this case, maybe in this case also, we should penalize her because she should have to have a get because she did this erusin because without based upon a single witness, right? So in the initial case, she's getting penalized because she got fully married by a single witness. So here, because all she did was erusin with a single witness, maybe she should follow the same, have the same penalty applied to her. Gemara answers. Reisha de Avda Isura. In the first case where she did Nisuin, she really did something that was forbidden, Kansua. Seifa lo Avda Isura. In the second case where she didn't really do anything. All she did was this Erisin. She never really had, physical relationship with the husband. She never really consummated their marriage. And therefore, she didn't really do anything significantly different. Therefore, lo Kansua Rabbanan. And therefore, in this other case, the Rabbanan didn't penalize her. So back in the Mishnah, it says that ein lak ksuva. It says in this case, not only is she divorced, but she doesn't get her ksuva. Ma taima tekinalei rabbanan ksuva. So why ksuva? Why? What's the purpose of a ksuva in the first place? What was the whole reason that when a man marries a woman, he has to give her a ksuva? G'day, because the ksuva says that if he divorces her, he has to give her this substantial payment. G'day shelo teikala be'ein avotzia. So there, because it shouldn't, he shouldn't just willy-nilly say, you know what, I don't like you today, I'm going to divorce you. He should know that if he's going to divorce her, he's going to have to pay out the significant penalty. And therefore, that's why they established the whole concept of ksuba to start with. Ha, in this case, however, tehei kala be'ein avotzia. In this case, the reason that she doesn't get her ksuba is we want the husband to actually divorce her. We don't want her to remain with the husband. And therefore, we make it easy. We say, you know what? She doesn't get the ksuba because the whole purpose of the ksuba was not to make it easy for him to divorce her. But in this case, we actually wanted this divorce to happen. So therefore, we remove the whole ksuba from the equation. So back in the Mishnah, it said not only does she not get her ksuba, but ein la peiros, velo mazonos, velo ba'al. She doesn't get any of these things that she would get from her husband, which includes getting sustenance or getting clothing or all these other things. The Gemara says, what's the reason for this? Tanai ksuva kiksuva dami. That all these things are basically stipulations of the ksuba and they're treated like the ksuba itself. So back in the Mishnah, it said, natla mizeh umizeh. If she got the ksuba payment from either husband A or husband B, she has to return it. So Gemara asks Pshita. So why is that? What's the magic thing about this, right? If she's not eligible for it, why would she be allowed to keep it? Why does she have to give it back? Gemara answers Mayu detema, that if it said that, you might have thought kaven de tafsula mafkina mina, that once she has it, you don't go crazy to take it away from her, because there are certain instances where you might say that all right, she already has it, and therefore we let her keep it. Kamash Milan, this teaches us that we force her to return the ksuba in this case if she actually had it. So back in the Mishnah, it said Havlad Mamzer, that if there was a child from one or the other, it's a Mamzer. So the question is, why the question is, okay, that maybe it makes sense by the second husband that it's a mamzer, but if she returned to the first husband, why is that considered a mamzer? So before we answer this question, we're going to go into this somewhat lengthy tangent where we're going to talk about something slightly different, and hopefully we'll find our way back to this question. So Tanan Hasla, we learned in a Mishnah, this is in Trumos, Ein Tarmin Min HaTameh Al HaTahar. When you have to take truma, what you can't do is you can't take produce that's tameh and use it to remove or to take produce that hasn't been that truma has been separated from it that's tahar. So you can't take truma produce and say this is to take truma from produce that is tahar, because technically we learned this many daf ago. You are allowed to give truma that is tameh to a kohen, but the kohen is supposed to use it and burn it and use it for purposes of its oil. But it's basically the kohen gets less benefit out of it, so you're kind of penalizing the kohen by doing this. However, ve'im tarem, but if you did this by mistake, let me take a step back. Ve'im tarem, if you did it b'shogeg, if you did it by mistake, truma so truma, it still counts. That even though you're not supposed to do this because you're shortchanging the kohen, because instead of giving him live produce, you're giving him produce that he can only use for oil. But mezid lo asav lo klum. However, if you did it on purpose, you didn't accomplish anything with it. So the question is, maiv lo asav lo klum. What does that mean? You didn't accomplish anything. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says lo asav lo klum ko ikar. It means he did nothing at all. Dafil ha greva hader lativa. Meaning that even the part of the tamei produce that he called truma, it's not considered truma anymore. It goes back to be tevel totally. So what he did is he had truma produce. He also had produce from which truma wasn't separated, and he also had produce from which truma wasn't separated that was tamei. And he took that tamei stuff and he said, "I'm going to make this truma to give to the kohen." Even that produce itself is not considered truma anymore, meaning he has to start all over in all cases. That's what Rav Chista says. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yoshi Amar, lo asav lo klum l'takim es hashirayim. He didn't do anything to free up the produce that he wanted to make eligible. So that still requires truma to be separated from it. Aval truma havai, but the truma that he separated from the tamei stuff, that is considered truma. So in other words, he has to still give truma again to qualify or to remove that other produce from being ineligible. So we're going to go through these two opinions. So Rav Chista lo amar k'Rav Nasan k'Rav Nasan Rav Yoshi. So Rav Chista doesn't say k'Rav Nasan Rav Yoshi. So let's review. Rav Chista said that the truma, nothing happened. So the truma is, nothing happened. So the truma, what he gave is not truma. Everything goes back to being tevel. And Rav Nasan said the truma that he gave is still truma, but he has to bring truma a second time. So why didn't Rav Chista say like Rav Nasan Rav Yoshi? Diamar davai truma, if you're going to say that what he made is actually truma, zimnin de pasha v'lo mafrish. There may be times that what is he going to do? He's going to say, you know what? I gave truma. I'm not going to give truma another time. This should count as, because this counts as truma, I shouldn't have to give truma a second time. So maishna mehay de takan. So how is Rav Chista, according to Rav Chista, how is this case different from a different case that we learn? Hatorim kishos, if you bring truma from cucumbers or vinimsa maris and it's found to be bitter, avatiach or from melon, vinimsa saruach, and it's found to be spoiled. So in other words, you bring truma, but the truma is spoiled. Truma v'yachzar v'yitrum, it is still truma. What he gave is still truma, but he has to give truma again and a second time. So in that case, you require the guy to be truma a second time. So if you're going to say that in our case, the reason you don't do it is because the guy's not going to be willing to bring truma a second time. How is that different than this case where he brings truma and you make him bring it a second time? More answers, shogeg amezid karmis, that you're dealing with a case of shogeg compared to a case of mezid, right? So if you're talking about shogeg lo avid asura, when it was shogeg, you didn't know that he was doing it invalid. Mezid ka avid asura, in the case of mezid, he knew he was doing the wrong thing. So when you're talking about mezid, He should after being truma again. So why is it different in this case? Varami a shogeg a shogeg. But maybe what we're talking about is the difference between shogeg and shogeg, right? When he brought the produce, if he did it by mistake, or he brought this, he brought this tamei stuff by mistake, or he brought this food that was spoiled by mistake. Ha kasanik shogeg truma, so truma. In the case of shogeg, when he brought the stuff that was tamei, we said it counted as truma. Hasam kasanim, but when we talk about the spoiled stuff, Yachzor v'yitrom, he has to bring in a second time. So in both cases, if this is shogeg, why should, in the case of spoiled food, he has to bring it again? But in the case of tameh, he doesn't have to bring it again. The answer is hasam, when we're talking about the spoiled food, shogeg karav l'mezid. It's more like negligence. It's not like he did it deliberately. It's more by negligence. Because why? D'ibay le'lu tameh. He should have tasted his cucumbers and his melons beforehand before giving it to make sure they weren't spoiled. When it comes to the tamei and tahar, it's more complicated. So basically what we're talking about here is that it's not a case of shogeg versus shogeg and mezid versus mezid. We have really three cases. We have shogeg, and then we have negligence, and then we have mezid. We're doing it deliberately, and therefore it's not the same thing. So let's stop here for today, and tomorrow we'll continue with the continuation of the other views. Have a wonderful day.